All right, get ready to dive deep into large language models. And you know, we're going way past the basics today. You know what these LLMs can do, but how do they go from just being lines of code to like writing poems or, you know, solving math problems? That's our deep dive today.
It's kind of like opening up a supercomputer and seeing all the wiring and connections. But
Exactly.
instead of physical wires, we're dealing with algorithms and just massive amounts of data.
So let's break it down into stages. And you've mentioned before that it's similar to how humans learn, right?
It is, yeah.
So walk me through that.
Well, think about how we learn new things.
Right.
We start by taking in a lot of information.
Yeah.
And for LLMs, that's the pre-training stage.
Okay.
So imagine like force feeding them a digital library
Yeah.
as big as like the entire internet.
Whoa. Okay. So that brings up like the fine web data set that we've talked about before. 44 terabytes of pure text, right? I've always been curious, though, is that like just a giant text file?
Well, it's structured in a way that researchers can access and analyze the data.
Okay.
So it's not just a random jumble of text, it's actually categorized
Okay.
and annotated.
Gotcha.
So cleaning a data set that massive, that's a huge GE task.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, think about removing duplicates,
Right.
filtering out all the spam, making sure the text is usable.
So it's like preparing a gourmet meal for an LLM.
Yeah, that's a good
But
analogy.
instead of ingredients, it's this meticulously prepped text from billions of pages, right?
Exactly. And just like any good recipe,
Yeah.
the quality of the ingredients matters.
Okay.
So the makeup of this data set can really influence the LLM's biases.
Oh, interesting.
For example, if the data set's mainly text from a certain region or demographic, the LLM might show biases
Right.
reflecting those perspectives.
That makes sense. It's like if you only fed a kid books from one genre, they might grow up with a limited view of what literature is. So once we have this data set all squeaky clean and organized, how does the LLM even begin to read it?
Well, computers don't really read text like we do.
Right.
So they need a way to break language down into like digestible chunks.
Okay.
And that's where tokenization comes in.
I remember you mentioning this before. It's like translating a novel into like Morse code. Right, transforming those words, the punctuation, into a series of symbols.
And there's different ways to tokenize text.
Okay.
A popular one is called byte pair encoding, or BPE.
Okay.
It's all about finding those efficient ways to represent these recurring patterns in text.
I'm curious though, by breaking down text into these smaller pieces, do we lose any of the nuance?
That's a good point.
Right. Could that potentially affect how the LLM understands the original meaning?
Yeah, it's a valid concern. There's always that trade-off
Right.
between efficiency and information loss.
Right.
Certain methods might miss those subtle linguistic things, and it could lead to biases or misinterpretations later on.
Yeah.
Choosing the right method is super important,
Right.
and researchers are always refining these techniques.
So we have our internet buffet all prepped,
Yes.
and it's been transformed into this digital Morse code. What's next?
Well, now we bring in the neural network, the
Okay.
brain behind all of this. So you can picture it as this vast network of interconnected nodes, each processing a tiny bit of info.
Okay, hold on. Neural network. For those of us who aren't, you know, coding experts, could you break that down a little bit?
Imagine a giant switchboard with millions of connections,
Okay.
and it's just constantly buzzing with activity.
Okay.
That's kind of what a neural network is like.
Gotcha.
It takes the token sequence as input and tries to predict what comes next, always learning and adjusting based on the patterns it sees.
So it's like a giant, superpowered autocomplete, always guessing what the next word's going to be based on everything it's read before. Wow. Okay.
But it's not just about mimicking human language.
Okay.
These networks can learn complex relationships between concepts,
Okay.
understand grammar and syntax,
Yeah.
even capture nuances in writing styles.
Okay, so that's starting to sound a little less like magic and a lot more like incredibly complex math. But just predicting the next word isn't exactly like writing a novel or composing a symphony. How do we get from this predictive text machine to an AI that can hold a conversation or write a poem?
Now that's where things get really interesting. That's what we'll get into next
You're
time.
right. Can't wait.
It's really about building on top of all that pre-training stuff
Okay.
and adding this like extra layer of refinement.
Gotcha.
Think of it like sending our LLM to finishing school.
Finishing school for AIs, do they learn like which fork to use for their digital salad.
Not quite, but in this case, finishing school is what we call post-training.
Okay.
So we take this LLM that's gotten really good at predicting the next word, and we teach it to have better conversations, to be able to follow instructions, and generate different creative text formats.
So instead of just like spitting out random words, it learns to put together sentences, paragraphs, whole stories even.
Exactly. And one way we do this is by feeding the LLM tons of human written conversations.
Okay.
And these conversations are carefully made to include different questions, answers, all kinds of speaking styles.
So it's like giving the LLM a script to study.
Exactly. Cool. And it's not just any random conversations. These are designed to teach the LLM how to follow directions, stay on topic, and even change its tone and style depending on the situation.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But with all this memorization going on, is there like a risk of the LLM just spitting back out big chunks of text it's already seen?
Yeah, that's a big challenge.
Right.
It's called regurgitation.
Okay.
And researchers are always working on ways to fix it. One approach is to really carefully pick what goes into the training data.
Right.
Making sure there's a lot of variety and not too many repeated patterns.
Gotcha.
Another way is to make algorithms that push the LLM to make new text.
Okay.
Reward it for being creative and original.
So it's like training a musician to improvise jazz.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Right, instead of just playing the same scales over and over.
Exactly.
But even with all those safeguards in place,
yeah,
is there still potential for them to do something unexpected?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, have you heard of something called hallucination?
Hallucination, like seeing things that aren't there.
Well, not exactly. Okay. When we talk about LLMs, hallucination means making up information that sounds real, but is totally made up.
Okay, so it's like the LLM is just making stuff up.
Right.
Why would it do that?
Well, it goes back to how these models are trained.
Okay.
They get rewarded for writing that's fluent and makes sense, even if it means filling in gaps with made up stuff.
So it's like a student who's so eager to answer a question.
Yeah.
They just blurt out the first thing that comes to mind, even if it's wrong.
Exactly. And like with students, it's important to teach LLMs to be more careful.
Right.
To double check things.
Right.
Before they see something as fact.
So how do we do that?
Well, one promising way is to give LLMs tools.
Okay.
Like access to information outside of what they already know.
Tools, what kind of tools?
Like imagine giving the LLM the ability to do a web search.
Okay.
So instead of just making up an answer, it could look up info online and use that in its response.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So it's basically doing research just like a human would.
Exactly. And this isn't just sci-fi stuff.
Okay.
There are LLMs right now that can use Google search.
Wow.
It's a huge step toward making them more reliable.
Okay, but how does the LLM know when to use that web search tool?
Right. Well, it comes down to clever programming.
Okay.
And using special tokens.
Okay.
Researchers can train LLMs to recognize certain keywords.
Right.
Or phrases that'll trigger a search.
So it's like giving the LLM a research assistant.
Yeah.
That's always ready to look stuff up and give citations.
Exactly.
But are we just trusting that the LLM is gonna understand and summarize all that outside information correctly?
That's where thinking models come in. Instead of just giving an answer, they show their work.
They show their work.
Yeah, they give you a step-by-step breakdown of how they figured it out.
Okay.
So you can see their reasoning.
So it's like a mathematician showing their calculations.
Yes.
Or a writer outlining their thought process.
Exactly. It's a way to make these systems more transparent.
Right.
So we can understand how they reach their conclusions.
Okay.
And spot any potential problems or biases.
Well, that's a total game changer. No more black boxes.
Right.
We can actually peek inside and see what's going on.
And follow its logic, yeah.
Are these thinking models available for people to use?
They're becoming more and more accessible.
Okay. Some companies, like DeepSeek, give you access to their models. And even some ChatGPT versions are starting to do this too.
So we've talked about pre-training where the LLM is taking in tons of data.
Right.
Post-training where it's learning to converse and use tools.
Yeah.
But there's one more stage you mentioned, reinforcement learning, right?
Yes.
How does that fit into all of this?
Reinforcement learning is where we take our LLM from being a student to becoming a master.
Okay.
Remember that school analogy we talked about?
Yeah.
We're the textbooks, studied the examples.
Right.
Now it's time to see if we can actually solve problems on our own.
So it's like giving the LLM challenging problems and seeing how it does.
Exactly. And reinforcement learning.
Yep.
The LLM gets a task and gets rewarded for doing it well.
Okay.
So it's all about trial and error. It learns to refine its strategies
Okay.
and get better over time.
I'm seeing how all these stages connect.
Yeah.
It's a journey from absorbing data to developing skills.
And finally, being able to solve problems independently.
That's a great way to put it. And the results of all this reinforcement learning.
Yeah.
They can be amazing. Remember AlphaGo?
Oh yeah, the AI that beat the world champ at Go.
Right.
Of course, that was like a huge moment for AI.
It was.
But what does AlphaGo have to do with LLMs?
Well, AlphaGo was trained using reinforcement learning.
Okay.
It played millions of games against itself,
Whoa.
learning from every win and loss, until it came up with strategies that were better than any human.
And just like AlphaGo changed the game of Go,
Yeah.
reinforcement learning has that same potential to change LLMs.
Right.
It can push them beyond what we thought was possible.
Exactly.
That's a both super exciting and a little scary.
It is.
But how does this work for tasks where there's not a clear winner or loser?
Right.
Like writing a poem or composing music,
Yeah.
how do you reward an LLM for being creative?
That's where things get even trickier.
Okay.
For those kinds of tasks, we use something called reinforcement learning from human feedback, or RLHF.
RLHF, another acronym.
Right.
Okay, so are we bringing humans back into the loop here?
Absolutely. With RLHF, we have human evaluators
Okay.
who give feedback on what the LLM produces.
So it's like having judges score a performance.
Yeah, exactly.
So if the LLM's trying to write a joke,
Right.
these people would rate how funny it is, how original it is, and how well it works overall.
Exactly. And the LLM learns from this feedback.
Okay.
So it gets better and better.
But wouldn't that limit how creative the LLM can be?
That's a good point.
Right. Won't it just end up copying the style of the people giving the feedback?
That's a valid concern.
Yeah.
There's always a balance between giving guidance and letting it be free.
Right.
The goal of RLHF is not to stop creativity,
Okay.
but to give it a structure to develop.
So it's like giving the LLM guidelines, but still letting it experiment.
Exactly. It's about nurturing its creative potential while making sure its output makes sense for us humans.
This has been incredible fascinating.
Yeah.
We went from these giant data sets to neural networks to web searches and thinking models,
Right.
and now to getting feedback from humans.
That's quite a journey.
It's amazing how all these things come together
Yeah.
to make such powerful systems.
It really shows how creative and collaborative the AI research world is.
Yeah.
And we're really just getting started.
Wow, we've covered so much in this deep dive.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
From giant data sets to these crazy complex algorithms,
Right.
what do you find like the most mind-blowing part of this whole thing?
It's the potential for
Yeah.
these LLMs to go beyond what we thought was possible,
Right.
especially with things like reinforcement learning.
Uh-huh.
They're not just copying us anymore. They're coming up with their own ways to solve problems.
Yeah, that AlphaGo example you mentioned really shows
Oh,
that.
good.
Imagine an LLM that can figure out scientific problems or write music that's never been heard before.
It's mind-boggling, huh?
It is. It's exciting, but kind of scary too.
Yeah, for sure.
What if they can solve problems we haven't even thought of yet?
That's a big question, right?
It
What if
is.
they hold the key to new scientific discoveries
Right.
or art that pushes the boundaries of what we even think of as art?
It's almost like we're creating a whole new kind of creative mind,
Yeah.
one that works in ways we don't fully get yet.
And that's what makes this field so interesting.
Yeah.
We're not just making tools, we might be shaping the future of intelligence itself.
This deep dive has really opened my eyes.
I'm glad.
It's wild to think that we're just at the beginning of what LLMs can do.
Oh, absolutely. The field is moving so fast.
Yeah.
New research and applications are popping up constantly.
I can't wait to do another deep dive into all of this soon.
Me neither.
But before we wrap up, there's this one question I keep thinking about.
Okay, what is it?
If these LLMs can really think, create, and solve problems, what does that mean for us humans?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It is.
And it's one we'll have to keep thinking about as these technologies keep changing.
Right.
The important thing is to approach this with a mix of curiosity
Yeah.
and caution.
To use the power of LLMs in a good way.
Right.
And also make sure it's done ethically.
It's a journey we're all on together.
I like that.
And it means we really need to understand both the technical side
Right.
and the potential impact on society.
This has been such a fascinating exploration.
Yeah, it has.
Thank you so much for taking us through this complex world.
It was my pleasure, really.
It's true what they say, the quest for knowledge is better shared.
Absolutely.
And on that note, we'll leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
As LLMs keep evolving, what role will they play in shaping our world? And how will we as humans adapt and live alongside these increasingly intelligent machines?
Those are big questions.
They are, and they're going to be shaping the next few decades. Until next time, everyone, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.
See you next time.